Today on the show, we finally return home. Welcome to The Lost Cantina, the podcast that explores the stories, characters, and themes behind our favorite galaxy far, far away. I am Jaden.
And I'm Kevin. Yes, hello there, folks. This is the last episode. We're just going to say it out loud. Last episode of Ahsoka. Are you pumped?
General Kenobi, I am pumped.
I am very excited to talk about this episode because this is one of the coolest episodes out of the whole show.
It is.
Minus the Anakin episode.
Yes, and unfortunately, though, this is one of those episodes that's going to be a little shorter because there's a lot of action. A lot of action,
there so it's a lot of action
to talk about. We're going to talk about it, but we're not going to go blow by blow because you've already seen it. Star Wars is a visual medium, and we are an audio medium, so it's kind of hard for us to go laser blade, laser blade.
So, yeah, this is going to take a little bit of time, but not too long. I will say for those who know, who've been following us for a while, as you know, when we cover shows specifically, we watch the episodes and then we watch them again. And while we're watching them, we're like taking notes and writing yep. stuff down and going through the synopsis and all that stuff. It's not a copy paste from Wiki. Like no. We really sit there and go through it and analyze.
We could.
Stuff.
We could.
We're big film nerds. So like, that's the other thing. We try not to get too crazy into the weeds of film analysis because it's not a film podcast, although I would love to do that. But yeah, this episode's gonna be really fun.
It would finally let me use my film degree.
All right. You're using it, Dad.
That's okay. True. You know what? Yeah.
So this episode's gonna have a theme, as you know. They all have a theme. I would say this episode's theme is rebirth. And when I say rebirth, I would say that for a lot of different reasons. Maybe not just rebirth, but we'll go with coming back to life. We'll say that something. You know, everything's coming back to life. If that makes sense, I can't give you the theme is too easy to give away the plot. I just you'll get it. Okay, I promise.
He's so excited to talk about it.
I'm nerding now. I love this episode. It's really fun. It's really fun.
All right, so before we dive into it, we'd love to hear from our listeners. So please, if you feel like you want to talk to us, email us at thelostcantinapod@gmail.com with your thoughts and episode ideas. You might see them appear in a future episode. And of course, you can connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at thelostcantina. Still calling it Twitter. No. We refuse to change.
Yeah. I still have my Twitter account, my personal one, but I'm like not really using it like ever. I'm thinking about just getting rid of it.
There's nowhere else to go.
Everybody's using Threads now.
Are they though?
I don't know.
I have nowhere else to go. I'm a man with no nation right now because
we're still on TikTok, but like we got some videos prepped, so we know it's dry. We apologize. We know it's dry. Now, before we dive in, you've heard my excitement. You know how crazy I am about this right now. I'm just gonna tell you. If you're listening to this episode and you haven't watched a lick, not even the episode, but a lick of the show, what are you doing? What are you doing? Can you do me a favor and like,
you're a confusing watch person it? And we don't like you. That's not true. We like you a lot.
Yes. What do you do? No, we love you. We just watch the damn show.
We're disappointed.
Show,
we're like your disappointed parents. We're your two not gay dads who are upset with you for listening to episode 8 when you should be listening to episode 1.
Yeah.
Thanks for the backup on the improv there.
All right, so before we jump into the synopsis and all that stuff, we're going to take a quick break. But yes, definitely beware. Spoiler heavy about to start.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, you've been warned. Let's get into the movies. I don't know why I said it like that, but I'm having fun.
WrestleMania.
Yeah, you know. Space WrestleMania. There, it ties in. We're fine. We're covered. The final episode begins with a drum roll as we see the Chimera in all its glory. The decals are fucking awesome. Everything looks so good. The gold repair attachments on it are so pretty. The cargo transfer is now complete, and we say cargo in air quotes because is it really cargo or is it dead people? Oh. Is it dead people? It's probably dead people. Thrawn orders the Eye of Sion to get ready for docking and is then informed that Ahsoka's ship was indeed found. He orders two, count them two, TIE fighters to go and destroy her. Morgan Elsbeth.
That's a lot of resources.
That's a lot of resources. But also, like
think about that. That's two ships that they could use for defense and all that shit when they get back. Like, yeah, I feel like that's a lot of resources.
I feel like he's going to have all the shit he needs when he gets back, you know, and he's leaving now. So I don't know why he doesn't send more. But maybe that'll be explained later. Elsbeth is still under the impression that nothing Ahsoka can do will stop them. She's getting pretty cocky. And Thrawn compares her to the Imperials, who thought the rebellion was nothing. Their hubris was the Empire's downfall. And she is the perfect example and testament to that. Thrawn says, quote, "Even I fell to the heroics of a single Jedi. Never again."
And that's a big deal, too, because, like, a single Jedi took him down, right? Like, so, like, he's very cautious, but very highly aware.
I will say it's kind of nice seeing him have respect for Ezra.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. He respects him, and I mean, he always respects his enemies to a degree. But he clearly is like, he even says, he goes, "I fell to the hero." Like he fell to it. He knows I failed.
He admits that he failed against Ezra, which is interesting because he could have very easily said, "I fell to a child. I fell to an inferior opponent." No, he says, "I fell to a Jedi. I'm going to give the respect on his name. He beat me and trapped me here for 10 years."
He then turns around and he thanks the grandmothers who are there and creepy as shit. And the mothers invite Elsbeth to basically what I call get Lord Guru's potential unleashed, right? Like, you know, "I am an adult" for all our,
I was just about to say I am an adult, but I didn't know if Team Four Star is too deep of an internet cut.
But yeah, she basically they invite her to do, you know, a Lord Guru potential, a Namekian potential unleashed thing, right?
Yep.
So they're saying, you know, you're gonna have to abandon your old life, right? And she says, "Okay, yeah, I'll do that." And they kind of second guess her when she says yes, because she has a lot of ego to herself. She's a little bit narcissistic, clearly, you know, and she questions everything, including Thrawn and all these things, and she really likes herself a lot, as you can probably tell. So when they say, "Are you ready to give away your old life?" she says yes, and they're like, they just kind of look at her. Obviously, they are, you know, there for a greater purpose, right? You know, to bring upon the coming of Thrawn and for the Empire, right? But she still questioned that leadership. So it they're almost like interrogating her right now, on like just staring at her. She gets they do this thing where they kind of surround her and they do that whole, like, they do chanting and all this stuff, and her eyes begin to glow. Yeah, her eyes begin to glow this, like, cool green color, kind of similar to, you know, a lot of
We might need to do a podcast on the Dathomiri magic, because it's very interesting, because it's very clearly not the Force, but it definitely does corrupt the Force in some ways.
Yeah, yeah. It's really cool, though, to watch this, because it's you know, the most of the Dathomiri stuff we've seen is either in animated format on a show or in the video games, and it's still cool to see, but now it's even cooler to see, you know, the green flames and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So her eyes are glowing, and then her voice kind of has this weird echoey boom to it behind it, And they use their magic and they build her a new sword, right? And the blade, they call it, I'm going to butcher it, Xianxin, I think that's what they how they pronounced it. And it's just a green flaming sword.
It's a green
like
flaming sword.
Like, for those who have played Elden Ring, if you put a black flame on your sword, or, you know...
It's way too cool for what happens in the episode. Yeah. I'm going to be honest.
It's really fucking sick. Like, that's what it reminded me of. And this is the fantasy aspect of Star Wars, right? Yeah. Kind of like at its peak. Like, it really is that cool.
We cut away to Ahsoka and her crew, and Ahsoka's ship is just kind of hovering over the little caravan as it makes its way across the prairie, if it were. And you know, it's kind of fun because like these guys, you'd think that they might have like a little bit of fun with it, like just seeing this new technology, because like they clearly don't have flight capabilities.
Yeah.
And
hover capabilities.
Hover capabilities. Yeah. They hover, but not flight. And the next sequence, you know, Ezra is on the ship and he's building a new lightsaber, and it might be one of the, like, it's just a fun nod to Rebels fans because he's building it and, you know, Hu Yang is trying to help him, but everything that he's suggesting, Ezra's like, no, that won't work. And he's arguing with the droid who's built all the lightsabers for the Jedi Order. It's just very fun, and that's very Ezra to be like, no, I'm doing it my way. It's like, no, but this is the Jedi way. Yeah, fuck the Jedi. I'm trying to work it over here.
Yeah, right.
And Ezra says he doesn't have time for lessons, which is funny because, you know, everything can be a lesson when you're a Jedi.
And Hu Yang says that Ezra's kind of disorganizing the room, right? And Ezra disagrees. He's like, no, this room is... This room's already disorganized. I think it's funny to see the junk kid, right? Who sees the art in the junk and the new ways pieces can be used and compared to this traditional analytical, you know, view that Hu Yang has.
It's the new Jedi way versus the old Jedi way. The old Jedi way, you know, is very rigid and stiff, whereas the new Jedi way is a lot more improvisational.
Yep. And that's the fun part about it, right? That's the fun stuff about Ezra is he improvises. He doesn't just, you know, follow the same thing.
Who knows? Maybe in the new the new Rey movie with her building her Jedi Order, maybe Ezra will show up and he'll help her make a more loose Jedi Order.
I'd be into it. And Hu Yang says he has a system, right? And versus Ezra's method. That's the difference here, right? We have a system versus a method.
Yes.
And he asks who taught him.
Sabine, watching through the doorway, says, Kanan Jarrus. He was my master and taught me everything I know. And I taught him how to build a lightsaber, Hu Yang fires back.
Which is hilarious.
It's great. Ezra and Sabine both look confused. They really don't understand who or what Hu Yang is. And Hu Yang gives them a quick history lesson. And Ezra asks just how old Hu Yang is. And he says, old enough to know the relationship between a master and an apprentice is as challenging as it is meaningful. Sabine just kind of looks defeated. Hu Yang hands Ezra the piece that he's been looking for. And he says, I had two of these. Kanan took the one. The other I held on to in case he ever needed it. It is proper that you should have it. And it's the hilt head. It's the head on the lightsaber. Yeah.
And with that, Ezra has a new lightsaber. And it's kind of cool because Hu Yang says, well done. Looks like you were a good student, which is very like he for all the arguing he's been doing, he still acknowledges it like, hey, you know what? You still did a good job and all that. And the dichotomy of how Ezra's relationship with his master versus like Sabine and hers is kind of really shown there, because you see, you know, Ezra, even though he already had the little butting heads in the beginning, they overcame that, right? And he's a good student, right? And she's clearly been struggling. And Sabine, with just a look to the camera, it shows how she feels, you know, kind of like a failure, even still. And while watching someone like Ezra succeed can be a little bit challenging for somebody going through what she's going through. But you have to remember that, again, Ezra had that longer relationship with his master, as well as, you know, they are, again, they already went through the struggles and they respected each other. They've been through way more than
Sabine. Well, you know, it's funny because, like, Sabine technically did spend more time with Kanan. She just spent less time as his as his student. In fact, she spent barely any time as a student of his.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is, like, they went through that whole Sith temple thing, right? And that, I think that episode kind of rings a bell here, because that was one of the most challenging
events that things they went that through.
Both as that they had to overcome together, and that's way more than what I personally think that what Sabine has gone through with Ahsoka currently.
I think
that was wild. So Ezra, you know, he ignites his new blade and of course in close quarters, because, you know, let's do that. And he asks Sabine, he turns and he asks Sabine, he's like, only to realize, you know, he asks her, like, hey, what's up? And she's not there. She pulled a Batman and disappeared.
Yep. Ezra asks what happened between them. Hu Yang explains what happened to Mandalore. Basically, Sabine's entire family was destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that was a question that a lot of us had, you know, because in the last thing we saw of Sabine's family in Rebels was they were all uniting to retake Mandalore.
Yeah.
And, well, now we know that none of them survived, and she was the only one, because she was not with them at the time.
Yep.
Sabine, clearly she wants revenge for this. Ezra empathizes. You know, he lost his family, too.
Yep.
And, you know, he also kind of lost his new one as well when he went to stop Thrawn.
Yeah.
The last, you know, 15, 20 years at this point has just been children at war. Both of them. They're adults now, but when they started, they were both teenagers. Young teenagers at that.
And, yeah, I mean, I think, like, him empathizing with her is, like, one, very Jedi trait.
Yep.
But I think that that's a good thing, that he kind of understands what she's going through to a pretty close degree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sabine, she walks out of the ship and Ahsoka's already on top of it meditating like a weirdo. Jedi's, they're just so weird. They finally have their discussion about Ezra now. They finally kind of come to terms with it now that he's around. Ahsoka says, your gamble paid off, right? Like, hey, you did the thing and guess what? You it landed on Black and you won. Sabine's like, ah shit, mom knows, because she did not tell her that about what happened.
No.
And
technically she hasn't told, like, Ezra yet either, when you think about
it. Yeah. So she's like, oh fuck, you know. And but she doesn't berate her. Like, Ahsoka's not like going off on her. She empathizes with her, which is really cool. Sabine is kind of confused, obviously. And Ahsoka just says, over the years, I've made my share of difficult, you know, choices.
Yep.
Often no one understood my reasons. And then she looks at her and she says, except my master. She asks her if she, you know, kept up with her training. And Sabine's kind of like says in the Star Wars answer, I try. And then, of course, you know, looks at Ahsoka and she goes, I do. Because that's the running gag, obviously.
It's so good. I love that stuff. As soon as Ezra comes out with his lightsaber, we hear and eventually see TIE fighters. We don't even hesitate, and they just start firing. They hit the ship, and both Ezra and Ahsoka use the Force to hold it up from falling and destroying the caravan that it's hovering above. Sabine actually uses her ship to hit the two fighters, and then the ship also crashes, and Hu Yang is not happy. The caravan is also damaged in the attack. Thrawn is informed of what happened, and honestly, he seems fine with the outcome. The ship is damaged.
Yep.
They're out of range. Now he can go to his next move, and he orders a ground assault.
And the crew, they just decide to abandon the ship to Hu Yang and the caravan, because they're going to fix the ship. And they ride their little fuzzy doggo thingies. And they're going to ride to the temple. Hu Yang says, may the Force be with you. Come on. I mean, it's a given. We're going to hear that at some point. We love hearing it. You know, might as well be Power Rangers. May the power protect you. Same kind of thing. You know, we see Elsbeth now explain to the ground troops that volunteered that the blessings of the Great Mothers are going to protect them in battle. Wonder what that means.
Yeah.
So Thrawn comes over and he goes, they were made aware. And a couple of things to unpack here. We will get to the real thing that they were made aware of. I promise you. But also you're going to have to realize that every time a group of them go to fight, there's a large chance that they're not going to come home. Right. So there's a big, big thing.
There's
with
a good
these
chance
volunteers.
These guys are left to
yeah.
defend the planet or to defend Thrawn. Yeah. They're not getting on the ship. If they don't,
yeah, like they're not going to get on that ship. So there's a big deal when he's like, you know, you explain to them that they might not come home, right? Among other things that may happen.
Which is interesting that he says that, because it shows again the level of care he has for his troops.
Exactly. And also because they can get left behind so close to the time of them leaving.
Yeah.
And they're still willing to go.
Yeah.
Like that's how much these guys respect the shit out of this dude.
Yeah. They are willing and able to stand by him and for him.
Yeah. And so she says to him, all were honored to make the sacrifice for you. And that shows her that she still thinks it's about a single person. And I think Thrawn kind of like shits on her when he looks at her and he just says, it was for the Empire, the security for the galaxy.
Thrawn does not care about himself. He believes that he's the best person to secure the galaxy. If it was someone else, he would be following them.
Uh-huh.
And I love that.
He understands it's not about him.
A man second.
And that's the thing that she doesn't get, is she thinks it's for, you know,
it's for him.
For a person. She even mumbles for that, for Dathomir, right? Like,
yeah.
That's like one of her big things that she mumbles in the episode. So clearly she's doing it, you know, for other ulterior reasons, possibly.
Yes. Hu Yang is fixing the ship with his new crew, and we get a funny scene where he says, don't wait for him, when one of the aliens shocks itself.
Oh, yeah.
Ezra is filling in Ahsoka and Sabine on how Thrawn found the temple and the Night Sisters. They ride towards the front of the temple while Thrawn issues a bombardment, a planetary bombardment.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, one of my favorite Thrawn lines so far. He just goes, there will be no negotiating with the apprentice of Anakin Skywalker. Which,
you're not wrong.
You're not wrong, because the subtext of that is that, well, let's call a spade here. Anakin Skywalker's a fucking war criminal.
Yes.
There are so many times where he's like, let's negotiate. Meanwhile, he's fucking killing, like, Obi-Wan's out there killing someone.
Yeah, like, they don't care.
They take
like
surrender so many goddamn times in the Clone Wars, it's amazing.
Yeah.
They use the Force to open the door right as the bombs are coming down, and they get inside. But what they find inside is not an enemy that we've seen in Star Wars. Thrawn brings out his Night Troopers.
Yeah, so we see Thrawn visibly frustrated, which we don't always see quite often, you know? Like, in the first episode we see him, you know, get frustrated with another person because they weren't respecting the enemy, for instance, right? But this is, he's just frustrated because he's like, oh, fuck, I'm starting to lose.
Yeah.
So the gang's met with a massive amount of stormtroopers, right? But they're easily handled by the group. They fuck shit up and they're like, all right, cool, easy, that's it. All right, cool, we're gonna go upstairs. Well, like, it's nothing.
The one thing that I do want to say before we get too far away from it is, I think my favorite detail is when you watch the three of them fighting, Ezra and Ahsoka block every single blaster bolt that comes at them. Meanwhile, Sabine gets shot like 8 or 9 times.
Doesn't give a fuck.
Because she's trying to block the blaster shots, but she's not good at it yet. So they just keep nailing her. And it's so funny because it's like, well, she's in a Mandalorian, so it's fine, but, like, anybody else would be fucking dead.
Well, that's the thing. She doesn't care that she's getting hit. She's like, oh, whatever, whatever.
She's a little...
It's really funny.
In her movements, she's a little frustrated, because, like, she'll move to block a bolt, it'll hit her in the head, and then she goes, like...
Yeah, it is
like,
very
swings
funny.
Swings angrily the other way, and I'm like, oh, it's so good.
So now, the room's cleared, right? The room's cleared. Now we're gonna go upstairs.
Everything's
right?
Fine.
Right, Jaden?
Yep.
Right?
Yep, everything's fine.
Yeah, yeah! But not everything is as it appears. So the grandmothers, as I'm going to call them here, they begin doing their chants. They're reading off their recipe book. And that's right, folks. Zombies. We got the Walking Dead Star Wars edition. They all literally stand up and they do the twitchy twitch and they go, some of them are still firing. Some of them are just walking. And we get this crazy thing, you know, of them trying to run away from zombie stormtroopers.
It's so
and cool. Ezra almost gets,
die,
you know,
when you hit him.
Yeah. Yeah. Ezra almost gets bitten or bit by one. My mom would kill me for grammar issues. It's goofy, but like kind of cool and fun. I thought it was goofy because, like, you know, what are they going to do? They're dead. I don't know. They move like walkers, like from Walking Dead. So it's kind of like funny to watch them go so slowly. They're not running or anything.
Well,
right?
The big thing is that, like, these guys, like, they, you know, they slice them across the chest or cut off an arm and they're still coming. So it's like, how do you kill these things? And these things are a lot different than. I'm gonna open Jaden's Legends books here. In Legends, there was the book series called Death Troopers, where there was a zombie outbreak on a Star Destroyer. Which, side note, fucking please bring that back. Oh god, it would be so good if that was canon again. A different type of zombie in the Star Wars universe would be so fun.
I was gonna say, you just got zombie stormtroopers.
I know,
but
like infection type zombies versus like spell zombies.
Yeah.
Or worm zombies. We have another version of zombies in canon. It's the worm zombies from Geonosis.
Yes, we do.
But those ones were different because they still had like brain functionality. But like I love horror elements in Star Wars because it's fun because this galaxy is big and scary.
So after all this, they fend off a lot of them and they make their way to the top of the temple. And as they're getting there, Elsbeth informs Thrawn that, you know, they're ready to leave.
Yep.
Thrawn asks her to stay behind and he can let them board the ship and she can, you know, stay behind and help out, right?
Yeah.
She kind of looks at him and, you know, the mothers look at her and as they walk by, they kind of like stare at her. And that's when she says the whole for Dathomir, not for the Empire, which is that's a whole thing. After Thrawn says for the Empire, right? Like he says that and then she just doesn't really nod. She just kind of stares at him a little bit. And then that's when she says it. It's kind of cool.
So I think what we can infer from that whole sequence there is that, I think in exchange for getting the galaxy back, I think Thrawn is going to gift Dathomir its own independence and allow the Night Sisters to build their own Night Sister enclave on Dathomir, because I don't see why else Elsbeth would agree to helping, because clearly she doesn't like the Emperor. She doesn't, like, as a whole, she likes Dathomir. Her loyalty is to the witches, not to... She's loyalty to Thrawn to an extent... But, like, with that line there where she says, for Dathomir, very clearly it's like, this entire time I've been trying to use you to make sure that the Night Sisters gain their power.
I think also the Night Sisters might have an ulterior motive to, like, essentially become important to the Empire and then infiltrate and take over.
That could be a long-term strategy. Which, knowing Thrawn, he already has a contingency and plan for that as well. You know, man's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Before they make it all the way to the top, they are met by Morgan Elsbeth. Ahsoka tells them to keep going. And we get to have this awesome rematch between the two. You know, she fought her all the way back in season 2 of Mandalorian. And that was a very intriguing sequence. And this one is, I don't know if it's as good. I'm gonna be honest. I think I like the spear versus sword fight in the previous.
I like the previous one a lot more.
The sword is very cool that Morgan used, as we said before, but like I don't know, that's the kind of sword I wish that they had maybe kept her around a little longer for. Spoiler for later in the episode.
I agree.
Up top, Ezra and Sabine are met with more dark troopers, and we actually see that they are zombie troops. The ship starts up and everyone's starting to fight a little more desperately on both sides. You know, we see the faces of these troopers and they are just straight up decaying corpses, which, you know, that also is a question too of like, maybe in service to Thrawn, you're never actually dead. He just, like, when you die, he just turns your corpse into a zombie to like do menial tasks.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Latrine duty.
Yeah. Latrine. What? You don't need it anymore. You're dead. Get to digging.
Yeah.
Sabine is pinned down by one, and she uses the Force actually to get her lightsaber back, which holy crap, she uses the Force. And like, there's like a moment there where she's like, oh my God, yeah. I did it.
Yeah, that's when you know, like, all right, the fight is kind of hit its climax, right?
Yeah.
Because she gets her powers, essentially, really gets her powers. And the troops, they begin to head their way. So the guys that were downstairs that were, quote, you know, defeated because the doors were locked, they get through and they're coming up. And now Ahsoka is now face-to-face with Elsbeth and surrounded by troopers, right? Yep. So while Sabine and Ezra watch the ship start to move further away because they defeat these two other dark troopers, they're watching the ship move further away. And Sabine is like, okay, what do we do? And Sabine says that they need to force push slash pull each other to that ship, right? She's like, yeah. All right, I push you, you pull me, and I push you again, and you pull me back. You know, pulley system, whatever.
It's just the amazing, the we talked about this in a previous episode where it's like, Sabine's brain is very much equipment based. Like the Force is not the Force. It is a piece of equipment that she hasn't mastered yet. And now that she figured out how to use it on the one lightsaber, in her brain, she goes, I can do this now.
Like, yeah, it's just,
she gets like, it. It's just like disassembling a blaster and reassembling it. Like she's done it now. Yep. So now she knows how to do it again. At least in her mind, she thinks that's how that works, which is interesting because that is kind of how it works.
Mm-hmm.
At least for her. You know, if somebody who's not so military-minded might still see the mysticism of the Force, but for her, it's a tool in her arsenal like anything else.
Yeah, and that's what makes, I think, Mandalorian Jedi, the few that there ever are slash were, that's what makes them stand out, is they view the Force in a completely different way than the normies, right?
Yeah, which is cool.
Which is really cool, except for Ezra's a normie, and he don't get it. He literally was just like, eh, what?
Like, you haven't figured this out yet.
He's not confident. He's not confident, but he says, all right, fine. And she's like, I got this. And he's like, okay, fine. So he force jumps over there. She pushes him, and he gets to the ship. There's these stormtroopers watching. They're like, what the hell is happening? And then he, you know, fucks him up, and he's on the ship. And he's like, all right, we can do this. I can get you. And he turns. And she's kind of far away, and she's not really running towards him. She's about to, and he's just like, uh-oh, come on, we don't have time. And Ahsoka comes running up the stairs, and Sabine watches Ahsoka, and you kind of can tell it's one of those like Neo Morpheus moments where it's like, it's either my life or their life, or, well, maybe I can just save everyone. And he's a bit frustrated because he's like, you know, he just got her back, and now he's gonna probably lose her. We don't know, but it cuts to her like running, and we don't know where she's running to.
Yeah,
but we see him. He you know, he does the thing he normally does where he like steals some armor. You know, you can see he's dragging the guy out. Like, all right, we know what he's about to do.
Well, doesn't he speak into a comlink too?
Yeah, he gets a comlink where they're like, oh, what's going on? And he's like, everything's good here. And like, typical Star Wars.
Typical. So all this stuff. Like, I swear to God, I was like, he's going to say, yeah, this is Officer Jabba the Hutt. Everything's fine.
And so this all happens. And then Ahsoka is, one of her lightsabers gets cut in half by Elsbeth's green blade. And that's when we're like, ah, shit.
What's interesting is that
she's losing.
The troopers are just kind of standing there, and they're watching as Elsbeth and Ahsoka are attacking. Yeah. It's almost like they're like, maybe Elsbeth has some sort of level of control over them, being like, no, this is my fight. I want to do this.
Yeah, she could.
As the ship is departing, Elsbeth claims that everyone else is dead. Ahsoka will die there alone.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very, very cool, because Elsbeth is very confident in what's going
to
happen.
Which is also funny, too, because Elsbeth is also going to die there alone.
Yeah, but she's content.
Like, it's like, okay, I got you. I mean, maybe we won't die alone.
Sabine says, not alone, and ignites her own lightsaber, and all hell breaks loose. You know, the troopers are going down and getting back up, and then going down again. And it's just a great fight sequence, and Ahsoka actually wins and takes out Elsbeth. The mothers on the ship feel her death. Ezra watches the whole battle and does his Rebels impersonation of a trooper, and he drags the outfit away. We kind of skipped ahead a little bit, but you know, it's great. Like, we now know that Ezra is going to do his usual thing, which is awesome.
Now, Thrawn orders them to fire on the temple while Ahsoka and Sabine are trying to run off the edge. Run off the edge, you say? Why is that? Well, they land on their ship because Hu Yang fixed it. Yay, Hu Yang. Yep. Good job. And so they're all on the ship and they're deflecting blasts and the temple's crumbling and stormtroopers are falling and they're charging towards the ship but not making it. Everything's blowing up. Yep. And man, was it cool. You could tell there was a lot of practical effects. I mean, and for me, it was like, you know, insert Incredibles kid, you know, that was totally wicked. Like, that was me watching it. I was like, oh, shit. So they escape, right? They escape and they're trying to catch up to the Eye. Thrawn ends up getting on the comms to her ship and he tells her, you know, that she's a worthy opponent. He regrets not meeting her face to face, but then he tells her, still, I know you because I knew your master. Oh, shit.
Yep.
I concluded your strategies would be similar. One wonders just how similar you might become. Obviously, we get a shot of Ahsoka looking at the camera like, this fucking guy.
Yep.
And, you know, she's like, God damn it. Then he says, perhaps this is where a Ronin such as you belongs. Today, victory is mine. Long live the Empire. And with a smile on his face, Thrawn dips. They go to hyperspace, go to Plaid, and everybody's ship gets all wonky, and they're like, God dang it, we missed him. And I think it's cool that he actually calls her a Ronin. I think that signifies some cool shit, right? I love that. I love that that concept of she's not a Jedi. She's not a Sith. She's a Ronin. Like, that's cool. Like, he technically names what she is. Like, now we don't have to say gray Jedi anymore because that sounds fucking stupid.
Well, it's also not accurate because she's not a gray Jedi.
Correct.
I use the dark side and Ahsoka's never used the dark side, but we're going to
We'll
get into a fight on that another day.
We will fight on that one.
We will fight on that. We're going to talk about Grey Jedi and how bullshit that concept is. I'm trying to get hate comments generated, Kevin, because I know people fucking go nuts for Grey Jedi, and I'm like, fucking Punisher fanboys in the Star Wars universe, essentially.
Jedi are already gray. They're old as shit. What are you talking about, folks?
So we're giving, like, this little montage of how we're leaving the characters in this universe, which is a great idea because we joked, I think in previous episodes, we were like, how is Dave Filoni going to save his babies? He always has to save Ahsoka. Yeah. Like, Ahsoka's not allowed to die. Well, now we know how. She's trapped in another galaxy far away from Disney's meddling.
Oh, jeez.
Disney can't hurt you. Dave Filoni's sitting there like with a storyboard of Ahsoka. Disney can't hurt you anymore, Ahsoka. You're in your own little galaxy now. That is very similar to the Star Wars galaxy for somehow. There's going to be new aliens, but they're going to look exactly like the aliens that are in the Star Wars universe. Leaving our heroes behind as we see the turtle aliens fixing their caravan as Ahsoka and Sabine come up to help. Ahsoka turns and we see the owl. The owl that represents her life and kind of her new beginning. In contrast, we see Shin, we haven't seen her in a hot minute, coming up to the raider camp as she ignites her blade. We see them rise to her. And
yeah, so now she's in charge.
She's in charge now. Like, she's like, I'm alpha. And then this is the part that I think Kevin is the most excited to talk about, is we see Balin standing on a statue of the father. And the father is pointing into the distance.
What?
The statue of the brother is standing to his right. And to the left, there was a statue of the sister, but she is missing her head.
What? Now, this is the last we see of our gorgeous Balin Skull.
Yes.
In all his glory. This is the last shot, I think, publicly of him as well, right?
Yeah, that's the last. That's the last. It's the last we get of Rey.
And Rey is, I mean, He kicked ass, man.
Yeah.
Like, he kicked fucking ass in this role. And again, you all know who I think would be able to, like, kind of hold on to that and bring that character, hold him on his shoulders. But I will say it was sick. I have so many theories and thoughts. I think you do as well. We've talked about it. in length.
I think it actually represents a way that the crew can get back to the Star Wars universe, and it might actually be a thing that they could have in a sequel trilogy of movies if they wanted to. But we'll talk about
Stargate.
Kinda. Well, she would have the power to do that. And those of you who have read the Legends know who I'm talking about. The Eye of Sion reverts to real space, coming up to Dathomir. Back with Hera's fleet, we see an old ship flying.
Shin's ship.
A stormtrooper walks out, and everyone has their guns on them. They don't want this to happen again, because last time this ship docked on a Republic vessel, everybody got fucked up.
Yep.
Chopper is the only one who's like, hey, I got this vibe here. I know who this is. It's that. Have you seen that internet meme of like Tiger Woods going big dog, and like doing high five? That's exactly what this chopper's like. Yep. Big dog.
Yeah, it is a big dog.
It's Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
It's Ezra. he takes off his helmet and he says, "Hi Hera, I'm home." And like that's just the perfect setup to be like, "Hey, we got Ezra back for the Thrawn shenanigans," which is, I think, is a great character to have in to swap out with Ahsoka. I mean, I would like Ahsoka to be there, but Ezra's a very interesting character to take her place in events to come.
I loved it because it kind of felt like a "Hi, Mom, I'm home." Like, I loved that. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, my green face mom is happy to see me.
Right. So the last scene we get with Ahsoka, this is the last scene, and it's of Ahsoka. It's the last one. She's staring off into the distance on this new planet, this new galaxy, right? And Sabine comes over and says they're almost packed, ready to go. And Ahsoka tells her that she did well. She's proud of her, right? And that's one of those things where, you know, she hasn't heard that. Sabine hasn't heard that quite a lot right now. Yeah. And so to hear that from your master, she's like, oh, wow. Thanks, you know, because now she's starting to feel how Ezra felt, you know, when he was building his lightsaber. She feels happy and proud that her master is proud, right? Even if Thrawn got away, Ahsoka is like fine with it. And that's the biggest thing here. Ezra got home, right? She says Ezra is where he needs to be, and so are we. It's time to move on. And obviously, we have a theory, you know, everybody thinks that they're there to stop Baylan Skoll or get involved with him and what his shenanigans and all that kind of shit. And Shin's going to stop him, blah, blah, blah. We kind of already expect that, right?
Yeah.
Sabine all of a sudden senses something, but she's just not sure what. She's like kind of staring. She's like, wait a minute. And Ahsoka's like, okay, what's up? And she goes, nothing, just shadows in the starlight. And Ahsoka kind of looks around. And Sabine walks away, and Ahsoka's just kind of staring. And then all of a sudden, Ahsoka smiles and nods. And the last shot we see of this show is the Force ghost of Anakin Skywalker watching over her from a ridge. And he just kind of smiles a little smirk and just kind of nods. And it's a perfect shot for an ending.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Brilliant.
It's great.
And that's it. That's the episode.
That's the episode.
Right there.
We have just the perfect setup now. We have two galaxies to explore now. We have Thrawn and his shenanigans in one corner, and Ahsoka and her crew in the second corner.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to make our thoughts and all that pretty brief. As you probably can tell, we were excited and we already liked it. So it's kind of obvious what we're going to say. So
remember when I said this episode would be short? I lied. I lied to you. Fooled
you. We love it so much. We love it. We're going to take a quick break.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, we're back. So overall thoughts. I mean, clearly I loved it. I had a blast with it. Again, wardrobe, special effects, music, everything, sound quality.
Yep.
Everything in this show has been top tier, great. Like, everything's been done so well. Back to Star Wars roots, you know, with samurai and that kind of shit. And also bringing into, like, other genres, like a horror aspect and that kind of stuff. And a little bit of a mystery aspect. And kind of trying to take the whole show to be like the games, kind of, you know, figuring out puzzles and that kind of shit. It's different, but it's also kind of grounded back in like what it originally was. And I loved this series. I thought this episode was really fun and cool. I like action. I like shit blowing up, like yep. Laser swords. Come on, right? We had a flaming sword. It was cool.
I think that I love the episode. I love the series. Ahsoka is probably, it's hard to say she's my favorite character because Wedge Antilles is just so sacred in my life. But Ahsoka's top 10 for sure, top 2, top 5. I think that this episode, the finale for me felt a little rushed. I felt like this could have been dragged out a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only critique I have that this episode felt a little like, go, we need to get this done. Like, we need to wrap this up so we
can get to the temple pretty quick.
Yeah, I felt like they were like, we got to get this done so we can move on to Mando season 5, which is now a movie. Or season 4, which is now a movie. So,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Thanks for rushing that, I guess. I love the way they have set this up where Ahsoka, you know, because we were talking about, like, what part she was going to take in mm-hmm. you know, Heir to the Empire. And it's like, well, turns out nothing. She's not going to be involved at all. Ezra is going to be the center stage Jedi for this story, which is very, very interesting. And I really like that. I think Thrawn was done really well. I think the Death Troopers were done really well. I think everything was good. I just think that, like, it was strange that they removed pieces off the board that I thought were going to be around a lot longer. Like, I thought Morgan was going to be... Morgan's a more compelling character than any of the night mothers that were there already. It's weird that they killed her. I felt like it was like they gave her a power boost and then she died. It was weird.
I think for her, she played her part, right? Like, that's kind of like the thought thing here, whereas she had a role and her role was to basically get in contact with Thrawn and make it so Thrawn can get back. And that's what she did. And now, what else do we have for her as a role in terms of a character and a story? Like, you could add stuff, sure. But I think her initial role, that was it, was bring Thrawn back. And she succeeded in her role, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I think she went out a little too quick. I would have preferred her to have her powers now, like, a little longer.
Yeah.
But I get it. I'm really excited for all the stuff with Baylan Skoll. I think, you know, for those who have not read Legends, there's some wild shit. Usually when there's the father in the story, I mean, you could have a second father.
Here's what I'm going to say.
I don't know your family dynamic, but there's a mother.
There's a mother.
And that's a whole fucking thing, man. I'll let you get into it, but essentially we can get it. We should probably fucking do an episode.
We need to do an episode on it. But just to give you a little teaser. Yeah. The family needs to have children. You need a mother to create life. And Abeloth is the mother. And I'm so excited that she might appear in lore because she is terrifying.
I was going to say, I'm excited, but also terrified.
Fucking terrifying. Oh my god, we're gonna do a whole episode on her because that's how
you want to talk about horror.
Yeah, like I think that that's where we're headed because it would be he said he was Baylan Skoll said he was looking for something to basically break the cycle, mm-hmm. and Abeloth is the closest thing to possibly breaking the cycle that we have in Star Wars old canon.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's gonna happen. I think also kind of hinted at we might see Thrawn's nemesis is from the books. The extra galactic threat that Thrawn is really worried about. We're in the other galaxy. We have a snapshot into another galaxy, which would explain why Thrawn was so intent on getting home.
Those raiders might know some people.
Those raiders that he fights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to unpack.
There's so much. Like, and
we answered a lot of questions, but then we opened the door for even more.
Absolutely. And I'm very happy that we got to explore this series together, but I'm also very excited that we get to start talking some non-scripted stuff, you know? Talk a little bit about like concepts versus doing episode reviews. And for those of you who are wanting us to do more episode reviews, like, you know, where's the Bad Batch episodes? Where's the Clone Wars? We're going to do them, but I think going forward, just in the interest of full disclosure, we're going to do them a little differently. I think we're going to do something a little different in the future. So look forward to that. You know, if you liked these episode series, they're not going away, but we're just going to try to do them a little differently. If you're following us on Lore Party, we've been discussing the Halo show and how to do season two of that. If ever
we have been putting the Halo show off, just FYI, for
full disclosure.
I mean, we weren't putting this off, but this one was just a lot of time consuming stuff was happening.
Yeah. The Halo show, we were putting it off because my therapist already sees me enough and I didn't want to have to see her two times a week.
But that Fallout show, now we've been talking about that too.
We might talk about the Fallout show because it's really good.
Yeah. Be on the lookout in Lore Party for stuff like that. But I would say, I think Ahsoka, at least 8 out of 10.
I just think they transitioned a character that was introduced in animation, delivered it in live action, everything that was promised. And I think it was very, very, very well done. I think they are constrained with the timeline, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Heir to the Empire will be a lot of fucking fun with Thrawn. And I think, I can't remember if Ahsoka has been confirmed for a season two, but the way they set it up, it feels like they kind of have to at this point.
Yeah. So, this show brought back Hayden Christensen. So let's be real.
Yeah, that was the best thing that it could have done.
And with that, we hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. It helps us grow the show a lot.
Yep.
Be sure to connect with us on Instagram, TikTok, all your socials, @The Lost Cantina. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.